This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, Lord. What the hell?
Everybody wiggle their ears.
Unbelievable.
What was that? Congrats, guys.
Wow, how about it, huh?
Wow. We did it.
Listen.
We did it.
We
didn't get fired.
No.
You did it, Q. You did it. And you did it, Jonas.
Oh, man. This is unbelievable. Two pros and a cup of Joe. It is LeVar Arrington.
Wow.
It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. That is correct. Outkick the coverage here. We've been doing this show for quite a while, and we were waiting to make the announcement, and the announcement is now. So these are the first moments in the history of the show, and I'm excited, guys.
Yeah,
this is
man.
Awesome. This is
congrats,
really awesome.
Man. Very humbling.
Congrats to you guys. Thank you. Big thank yous, by the way, to everyone behind the scenes,
Indeed.
In particular Don Martin, Scott Shapiro, but also our crew behind the scenes. Everyone for putting up with us as we were trying to, you know, mesh together, figure this thing out. But it's going to be a fun ride. I can't tell you how fun it's been for me, too, getting to work with you guys. Jonas, we've obviously worked together. But LeVar, I mean, just being able to talk ball with you, being able to talk life with you, it's been a ton of fun. Man,
yeah,
I can't
indeed.
Wait to continue this.
Man, I echo those sentiments. Been in this game a long time, man. And I got to tell you, when you're passionate about the things that you do, it's not work. It's just you're doing what you've been made to do. And, you know, I thought it was always football, and turns out radio is one of my loves, one of my passions. And the one thing about it is having the opportunity to work with people you respect, Brady, and people that you think that you can enjoy time with, I guess Jonas. You know, this is always, that's always, it's always, that is always a beautiful thing. So, man, many miles traveled to get here, I'm sure, for all of us. As you heard in the intro, you know, Chuck E. Cheese was a part of this journey.
Hold on. Hey, let's break down what LeVar said. He said he respects me, but doesn't enjoy hanging out with me. Jonas doesn't.
Because when you respect somebody, that's already understood that you enjoy hanging out with them. But I just want to make sure Jonas knew that I didn't respect him as much as I respect him. So I just thought I'd put that out there first.
Okay with that. It's understandable. I'll be honest. So Brady and I have been doing a show together for a long time, and we've been working on, you know, Sunday nights. And when they said that we were going to start doing shows with LeVar, I was concerned. I'll be full disclosure. I was concerned mostly for LeVar because Brady and I are lunatics, absolute lunatics. And the things
and then
that,
y'all
that,
realized.
And yeah, and then all of a sudden we start working with LeVar, and it's like
three lunatics.
Oh, it's
maybe that should have been the name of the show.
like LeVar's one of us.
Right.
Just a couple of loonies.
Just three brothers, you know.
Just three brothers out here in these streets,
just like
man.
The movie,
I hear you, my man.
You know what I mean? We just trying to stay warm out here in these cold streets, man.
So it's been a lot of fun and a total blast to get to do this with you guys.
Indeed.
And if you guys don't mind, I would like to just give a couple of thank yous.
Yeah,
if you don't
absolutely.
Mind here.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, all the people behind the scenes that don't get nearly the love that they deserve. Don Martin and Scott Shapiro
Absolutely.
Gave us this opportunity here, and I'm truly grateful. It's also the people behind the scenes, the anchors, the editors, the producers,
mm-hmm.
the technical producers. They're not board ops. They're technical producers. That's a demeaning term. Cut that crap out. People got to stop using that. But those are all the people that make us sound good. They're all the people that don't get the shine or the love that they deserve, and they make this network run and any other audio platform you listen to, they're the people that never get the credit they deserve.
Well said.
And they are all a part of this. And from somebody who came from weekends and worked and grinded there, man, I'm telling you, there is talent all over this network, and there are killers on the weekend. They crush it every single weekend, and it's not just the people you hear on the air. It's the people behind the scenes that hustle and bust their ass and grind that don't get the love they deserve. They are all a part of this as well, too. And I wanted to make sure that they all knew that they are loved, and they are a part of the reason why this whole thing works.
Okay, Chucky.
That was big, man.
I'm just saying.
That was very, very
You did forget one group of people, though.
What group of people is that?
The listeners, man.
Yes,
we've got some people who like to chime in.
Of course.
They like to chime in on social media.
Yes.
Thank you for chiming in. Whether you love us or hate us, here's the deal. We provoked some sort of emotion out of you, and that's what this whole thing's about.
Indeed.
So we appreciate you for chiming in. We appreciate all the listeners. Let's have some fun.
Yes. Man. Can I give one more thank you?
Oh,
just one more. This one's important.
Okay, go ahead, Jonas.
This is one more important, and then we'll get on to some bigger things.
Okay,
so,
let's go. Nothing bigger than that right now. But
so no, I do want to mention this because I'm never going to have this opportunity again. This is important. You guys had somebody in your life that got you into football, right? Somebody that either gave you football when you were young, and that sort of led you down the path that you were at. Correct? Like everybody has that person.
Yeah, of course.
My mom is my best friend. She's my hero. And she let me listen to radio for the first time when I was a kid. So this became my NFL. And she didn't get to do things in her life because she was dealt a bad hand and she just had to deal with limitations for a lot of it. So she didn't get to do a lot of and pursue a lot of her dreams and accomplish a lot of her goals. I'm able to accomplish mine and live mine because of her. And so in that regard, she's doing it. And so I just wanted to say for my mama, you know, I love her and my best friend. And the fact that I get to be here with you guys is an extension of how awesome she is and how much of a mentor and just a great human being and great person she has been in my life.
Awesome.
So there's that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Mom, there's that. Dad, I know you're probably listening. I feel the same way about y'all, just so y'all know.
Just want
don't,
to...
Don't, I don't want to take anything away from you, Jonas.
Yeah, that, no, listen,
that's definitely heartfelt, and I don't want you to think that I left y'all.
No.
Dad,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Chopper's not listening right now. He was texting me, but Chopper, my dad, is not. I don't know what the hell he's
doing
right
who's
now.
You said Chopper.
Tyrone.
Give me Tyrone.
Ty Diggy.
His nickname is Chopper. Now, he was
that's
a gunny
dope.
On a chopper in Vietnam, which I think that he's told multiple stories. I have no idea how he got the nickname.
It's pretty dope.
But
though.
I think that's how it stuck. But he's usually not up this early. He used to be back in the day. Now he's in his 70s, so he's slowed down a little bit. But the chopper dopper, I'm not sure what he's doing right now. But
my mom.
Very heartfelt, Jonas.
Yeah, for certain.
You know, And by the way, you know, thoughts and prayers. A lot of people don't know this, but you know, you obviously, I know your mom's dealing with a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, we're thinking about you.
Man. I'm not getting into it. I'm just saying we're all thinking about you. Thinking about her.
Appreciate it.
Right though. It's a big moment, man.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's pretty cool
to give that love. That's an amazing thing. So I'm just happy that we get to represent. Man.
No kidding.
Like this, honestly, like this, you find people that you connect with, and if you're able to connect with them, they always say you are the company that you keep. And you know, when we started doing the shows together, you know, there were opinions one way or the other, oh, this, that, and the other. But you know, the one thing that I realized when we started cracking the mic together was we were like-minded people. You know, we have different opinions, we have different approaches, we have different ways, but we ultimately have come together and we're doing something pretty, pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's very different. I think it's very unique. And just, again, I think it's a testament to Chopper, you know, it's a testament to Mama Jonas.
Yeah.
Testament to my people. And you know, this is, it's like, I just think it's the perfect storm, man. So let's do this.
Yes,
let's
absolutely.
Do this, man.
Awesome, and an honor to be here. And thank you for everybody, all the
what's
support
the name of the show
and
again?
All the love. Two pros and a cup of Joe.
Yeah,
come on, Lamar. You know what that means.
Well, I just wanted you to repeat it.
Yeah. So it is two pros and a cup of Joe. But yes, we are going to be terrorizing the mornings here on Fox Sports Radio and beyond here, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific Time. Moving forward, and super stoked about being a part
so
of.
So we're
all
not
of this.
Fill-ins anymore.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
How about that?
We take the temporary tag off.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, how about that?
I broke a tooth out before and needed a temporary. It doesn't feel as sturdy as the permanent when they put the permanent one on there. You know what I mean?
It feels a little better.
No chewing
how'd
nuts.
How'd you break a tooth?
Bro.
He told you. He's chewing on nuts
I broke
last
a tooth. I broke a tooth out in my sleep. Like, I bit down and bit
grinding?
A tooth out.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even a grind. It was a bite. I bit down and woke myself up. I broke a tooth.
Wow. What are you, Marv Albert?
Strong jaws, baby.
Well, he's a Nittany Lion, man.
That's right.
Bite.
Oh, okay. He got strong bites.
Oh, okay. I just thought, you know.
I hope I didn't turn anybody on out there.
I thought of Marv Albert for some reason when you said that.
I heard you say it, then you doubled down on it.
I tried to move beyond it.
All right. You brought it back.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear here.
Shots out to Marv. What a brilliant career and performances.
And it counts.
And it hurt.
God, we're not even going to make it a half hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Look, now I was saying before the year that, and this was me that was saying this before the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
I just want to be clear on that, that the Raiders were going to start 2-0. Now, I know you guys remember me saying that before the year,
correct? It's two quality wins, man.
I mean, just Like that's a good division. Those were teams that were in the postseason last year, and so you get that win on Monday night over the Baltimore Ravens, and you get that win on the road at Pittsburgh, and now the Steelers are sitting at 2-0, which begs the question. And I actually threw this out. This was my idea also before the show. Most surprising 2-0 team, and I know that that I came up with this this topic here. This is what I wanted to do, and I would like to submit the Las Vegas Raiders as the most surprising 2-0 team. That is going to be my submission. I did not. By the way, if you wanted to know whether or not did that thing just melt, what happened to the Raiders? What happened to the Raiders song, Roberto?
What happened to the autumn wind?
Yeah, come on.
There it is.
Just
there it is.
Blatant disrespect.
Yeah.
Now we're airing out FSR. But the Raiders are 2-0. And I don't know where if anybody actually really in real life thought they were going to be 2-0, but all of a sudden it feels like they've got some sort of a defense, whether it's a top half of the league defense. It feels like it's something. And Derek Carr and company are wheeling and deal. How about those Las Vegas Raiders, Brady Quinn? 2-0 to start off the year.
Can I pile on with a hot take here? Is Derek Carr the MVP of the league right now?
Oh, my God.
I mean,
come on, dude. They go to Pittsburgh against that team, that defense.
Oh, my God.
It's impressive wins. I'm saying this dude.
It's hot in here.
Hey, LeVar, Jonas and I have talked about this for a while, and a lot of people have, you know, especially on social media, they'll kind of dog me on Derek Carr. And I'm like, I don't get it. For the longest time, this dude's dealt with a crappy defense.
Yeah.
At best, an inconsistent run game. And you could even make the case that, look, say what you want about some of the, you know, draft picks or free agent signings, trades. I don't know that John Gruden, who, by the way, it's not Mike Mayock. It's John Gruden. It's his final say. It's his decision, what he wants. He's the one constructing the roster. Some of it hasn't worked out. And yet Derek Carr has been as consistent as can be. They haven't even touched 100 yards rushing so far this season. And yet they go on the road. They get a great win, in my opinion, versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know how hard that team is to be able to beat. And then they win opening week versus Baltimore, which I thought there was no shot they're winning that game, which I think even after last night, it kind of goes to show you, too. It's not like Baltimore has taken a step back. Like, I think it's more of a statement about where this Raiders team is, where they're pretty much they're for real. And we got to start talking about Derek Carr being in that conversation as one of the top QBs in the league, because at one point we were saying, is he even the best quarterback, or is he anywhere above like the fourth best quarterback in his division because of everyone else that's playing in that? I think he's playing great football right now. I don't think he gets enough credit. And this team might be a playoff team. I mean, they've got a 62% chance. That's the study that's been done. If for 2-0 teams, they have a 62% chance of getting in the playoffs right now.
Okay, was that before or after the 17th game added on? Because, listen.
It was actually before not only that, which I don't think is as significant. It's the seventh team that's on each side that probably actually excuse the stats. But this study was done between 1990 and 2019. So teams that start off 2-0 have a 62% chance of making the playoffs in that time frame, that window of time. And teams who are 0-2 have a 12% chance. Mm. Wow. Kind of interesting.
I mean, yeah. Listen, we've been defending Derek Carr for a long time. The defense has been absolutely atrocious. There's been a lot of criticism about them swinging and missing. But in that division, man, like here's the one thing I would say. In that division, I'm less confident in the Raiders being able to continue to put up wins and be able to be competitive in one of the top teams in that division. I have no issues with Kansas City, as we talked about. Don't care about what happened last night. Denver's defense is going to travel. As long as Teddy Bridgewater just doesn't turn the ball over, Denver's going to be in a lot of games. And yeah, the Chargers lost that game yesterday to the Cowboys, but I think the Chargers look like a team that's going to be vastly improved. So I'm still kind of skeptical when it comes to the Raiders, but I don't see why they couldn't compete for a wild card spot.
Well, you guys have gone Raider heavy as if this was like a threesome, and I'm not joining this threesome. I have
You're
a different
just
team
in the corner.
Wow. I had a different team that I was entertaining.
Be still my heart.
So I guess it was like, you know, 2-1, 1-on-1. I mean,
guy in the corner. I wasn't really sure what was going on.
But I wasn't by myself. I had a team with me. Right, I had someone with me.
It would have been weird if you were by yourself.
Yeah, it would have been. I don't know.
Bring out the gimp.
I don't know. That's kind of weird. My person to the party was the Carolina Panthers. I was in the corner hanging out with the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
I think that they are probably, you know, given the games and the circumstances, I do not think that the Raiders is a wrong answer. But if you would have told me that the Carolina Panthers would be 2-0 right now, and in the manner of which they won yesterday, and granted, you know, New Orleans had to deal with what they had to deal with going into the game, and that is significant when you have that much confusion before a game. But still, to get boat raced like that by the Carolina Panthers, and Christian McCaffrey is now back. He's now healthy, and I mean, he's a difference maker. Sam Darnold, you know, we're talking about, you know, Carr, and I'm not obviously not putting him on Carr's level of play, but Sam Darnold is playing some pretty good football right now and seemingly is comfortable in what he's got going on. It looks like a team that has a chance to make some noise in the division that they're in right now, and obviously right now, interestingly enough, they're number one in their division. Same division as the Super Bowl defending champs. So it's pretty surprising to me. If you told me in week three the Carolina Panthers would be the number one rated team in the NFC South, I'd say, you know, we need to check your temperature. We need to get you a sponsor, you know, get you some people to talk to you, help you, walk you through it, because you on something.
Yeah.
You know, something ain't right.
Hey, you know who I've been impressed by? Okay. The Houston Texans.
How about that?
Not a 2-0 team.
Hey, how about that?
Not a 2-0 team, but you know what they are? They're 2-0 against the spread, baby.
Yes, they are.
They are 2-0 against the spread.
Now, look, a lot of people are going to want to pick on David Culley for his decision on third down, that whole story. Look, it happens to the best of us. You know, like sometimes people get confused. They make certain decisions. It happens to the best of us.
Can someone explain that to me?
I can't. I really want to, because I want to root for the Houston Texans, because I want them to have a good season, just to stick it to Deshaun Watson, who threw him under the bus all year. But no, I cannot explain what the hell David Culley was doing there. What the hell was he doing?
Or decline that penalty? Excuse me. Decline the penalty to potentially get a third down and instead elected to punt. LeVar, have you ever heard of that in your life? Like, you get a penalty on third down, you can retry the down, but instead declined it. Just went ahead and, we're good with this series. Let's just punt the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. Heard of it.
I don't care if it's third and
25.
They had us punt the ball on a third down in our biggest game of the year at a whiteout.
We'll get to that.
There's always that.
That was absurd.
Yeah, definitely some bias potentially there in the world of college football.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson. Let's just go down the list. Do we want to start with Trevor Lawrence because he was taken number one overall? Do we want to go with Trevor Lawrence? I'm more optimistic about Trevor Lawrence than I am Zach Wilson, and I don't know if it's because of the four interceptions Zach Wilson threw.
Sheesh.
But good God, are the Jets ever going to be decent? I'm not asking the Jets to be good. I'm not asking them to bring back the guy who licks feet, Rex Ryan, to get him into the playoffs.
he clearly understood how to get him going.
Brady, the guy's got a foot fetish. All right, can we just call what it is?
Okay, we can. I'm going to avoid that for now and try to stick to football.
A guy orders a Caesar salad with bunions, and I'm supposed to leave that alone?
I got a weak stomach, man.
I got to leave that joke alone.
Yes. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Okay, let's get this thing back on track.
Yeah, please.
Trevor Lawrence, both Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are in bad situations. I mean, one of the hardest things is, one, you know, Trevor Lawrence dealt with some drops from his receivers, which never helps. But there's not much separation. And if DJ Chark is going to be their number one wide receiver, he has to start playing that way. And I don't know that he always does. Look, the roster needs a ton of help. I think my concern's more the way teams move the football versus that defense. I mean, he's always going to be playing from behind. He's always going to be in a shootout. And that's I think they're going to be the tough spot, even though they did jump out to a lead at least in the first quarter, but then they're down at half. So it's a tough spot for him to be in. And the same thing could be said for Zach Wilson. I'm just less optimistic about him with the Jets, because I think that division's a lot better than what the AFC South is. So I look at it, I don't think his protection's great. He made some throws and some decisions that were highly questionable. I mean, they weren't even in the zip code of where someone was. And I got to be honest with you, LeVar, like, one of the things I was saying with a scout, and we were talking yesterday, I said, you know, this reminds me of what I saw his first couple years at BYU.
Mm.
Like, when everyone kept trying to get excited about what he did last year, I was like, but look at who they're playing. Look at the throws he's making against no one. And honestly, like, some of the throws he was making, I'm going, that's not going to be there in the NFL. Like, it's not even going to be an opportunity for him. Or he's not going to have that clean of a pocket when he goes to the Jets. So it's a lot of what I thought would happen. And I'm not saying, again, he doesn't have a nice release and he can't move around a little bit, but he's going to have a harder uphill battle. And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure it's going to work out in the end. I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played, but he's in a really, really tough spot in New York.
But then you have a rookie on the other side of the ball who's just operating, you know, and maybe it was because it was against the Jets that he looked good. But, man, I feel for Zach. Listen, I was calling for him to be the rookie of the year out of the quarterbacks. But then when you see the way this Jets team is playing, it's continuing to be much of the same. And it just makes you – for some, it makes you wonder. For me, it doesn't make me wonder, because I always have to go back to the idea of when the structure of an organization doesn't change – and the consistency of the dysfunction is there, then I don't care what your coach is going to be. I don't care who your coach is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't care who your players are going to be. You're still ultimately going to get the same results that the culture will produce as years go on. And it just seems like it's much of the same. And that's sad, because I think that the Salah is I think he's the type of guy that could change an organization's trajectory. One way or the other, Zach Wilson, you wanted him to be that pick. I thought it should have been Justin Fields.
I thought it should have been Justin Fields, maybe the second one.
But, you know, it is what it is. But I don't know that Justin Fields would have been in a great situation if it was him.
The Jets mismanaged it. Let's just call it, they mismanaged it. And here's why they mismanaged it. They don't have a roster to compete, right? Like we all acknowledge it's a rebuild. So why the hell would you take a number two overall pick and throw him out there behind that crap that he's playing around and expect that he's gonna A, survive, and B, play well enough that his confidence is not gonna be rattled the rest of the season or career?
It's not even confidence. I'm worried about his physical health.
Right.
Like, he's gonna get beat up. He's not a big guy.
All of them do.
And that's the reality is you got to be able to deal with taking a beating in the NFL. I do wonder if the Jets were sitting there watching Mac Jones operate, and if they're saying to themselves, like, we got a little remorse. Maybe we should have looked at him a little harder. Yeah, like maybe we should have went with him because he seems to be able to diagnose and get the ball out quick and get it where it's supposed to go. He plays with a ton of confidence. He doesn't make those, you know, back-breaking, ill-advised throws. I mean, the one thing he does, which this makes me laugh every time, dude, is when he starts to scramble around. And remember how week one he like had that fumble in the first, you know, pass attempt because he was trying to basically burn the play and just incomplete and move on. He does that almost to the point where it's like, dude, a couple of these times you're going to get intentional grounding. Like he had one where he scrambled forward and he literally threw it almost and look at the feet of the lineman. But he was like pleading to the officials that there was a running back in the vicinity. I'm not so sure that was the case. That's about the only bad thing Mac Jones has done. He's played pretty flawless so far as a rookie in his first two games.
Well, that was why the 49ers, alleged by Schefter, moved up to get Trey Lance at, you know, the pick
that's
before.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
So that they can make sure they got Trey Lance so that Mac Jones wouldn't go to the New England Patriots.
Is that like when Bill Polian said a few years ago that he had a first-round grade on Brady, Tom Brady coming out of the draft? Bill Polian's like, I had a first-round draft. Yeah, that's why he left him sitting there six times. Well, we already had Peyton Manning. Okay, yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, after the fact, we can all say what we want to say. So, I know this is not a possibility, but I just want to ask you guys why this is not a possibility. What if the Jets look at this situation and go, we're farther away from being able to compete and keep our quarterback safe than we thought? We don't want to ruin him this early in his career.
Can't do it.
Okay, why? Why can't you sit him and say, hey, man, watch from here. You're still our guy, but watch from here, and then let's move forward.
Because there's too many ways it could be interpreted. One, by the player, by the players, by the fans. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Once you've made that decision, you've made that decision.
Well, to your point, it'd be signifying that you're giving up on this season.
Already. Or
so
you're giving
up
on him.
Yeah, and what are you saying to the veterans who you brought in, probably trying to say, we're going to turn this thing around this year, right here, right now? And granted, I know they're getting paid for what they do, but that's when those guys start saying, yeah, I got a hamstring injury.
Yep.
Yeah, I could come back in 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, it might take me 4 to 5 to 6 now,
yep.
You know?
Yeah.
He's in for it. Like, they are they look awful. They look absolutely terrible. Justin Fields, kind of a mixed bag. The thought process from a lot of people in watching that game was it felt like they used Justin Fields and Andy Dalton's game plan, and so they didn't really utilize him the best that they could. Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown pass. I mean, that was a perfect throw. So the numbers are a little bit misleading, but you know, the Bears tried to give it away. They tried to give that game away, but par for the course when it comes to that organization and that franchise there, Brady. That's
no,
your team.
I mean, and on the other side, Joe Burrow, who was so good with the football, I mean, very seldom makes any mistakes. He threw back-to-back-to-back interceptions.
How'd that happen?
No, well, I'll tell you this much. I mean, I've never done that, but I remember, like, any time I threw multiple interceptions. Like, one of my biggest weaknesses was I harp so hard on mistakes, and I'm overly analytical. Like, I wish I wasn't, but that's just how my mind works. And so I remember if I threw two interceptions, it was like, I used to almost get so mad at myself. I almost wanted to walk up to the coach and be like, just bench me. I'm just bench me. I'm telling you to bench me right now. I don't deserve to be on this field. Like, I used to be so upset at myself anytime that happened, especially if it was like on me, meaning like bad read, bad throw, whatever the case was. If it was deflected or tipped or whatever, then I was like, all right, whatever. It's not really on me. Or like miscommunication that happens sometimes. But that's the hardest thing. And I could only imagine going out there and three straight times walking back off the field and being like, whoops, sorry, guys,
my
bad.
Remember when Fitzpatrick threw six in a game?
That's just,
I mean, at a certain
I couldn't
point.
Do it. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't look LeVar, if he was my teammate, in the face if I threw six. Because I would have walked off the field at 3 or 4. I would have literally looked at him and said, I want to battle back for you, but this just ain't my game, man. This ain't my day. All right? I'm letting someone else go in for the betterment of you and everyone else at this point.
I generally have been the teammate when I played that, like, ran up to the QB, grabbed him, and looked him in the face and was like, bro, it's good. Like, you're good. Like, let's get this. Like, we're going to be all right. We're going to get it back for you.
Yeah.
But then there was that rare moment. There was that rarity, like that one time where you were just so disgusted by the way they were playing. That, and this would probably made it worse, because while I was always the dude that when you're coming off the field, we had to suddenly go back onto the field. When you're coming out, I'd be like, it's good, it's good, it's good. Look, I grab him, be like, it's all right. And then when that moment when I don't, like, you're coming on the field and you just look at the dude and you glare at him like, all right, man, get off the field. Like, that moment hurts. It hurts. You know, that sudden change, man.
Is there understanding, like, certain situations? Like, if it's a fourth down and he throws it, all right, it would have been a turnover on downs anyway. Or what happens if, like, I throw a bomb 60 yards downfield, gets picked off, and you're not, you know, backed up in your own red zone? Like, does that feel different to you? Are you like, okay, whatever, it's kind of like a punt?
So here's the mentality of a defender. We're actually very, very intelligently wired, you know, killing machines most often, at least from my era, right? Yes. So our take on it is that if you're taking a chance and we see that you're out there competing and you're going hard in the paint and just certain things are happening that just aren't in your favor, it's good. Like, all right, come on. Like, we got it. Like, let's keep plugging. But you know, you get a feel for if a guy is just out there and he's just out there, like he's not in it. Like, maybe he has some home situations going on, or maybe he's not, you know, taking it as seriously as he needs to, whatever it may be, right? Maybe he thinks he's just really that good and it's everybody else's fault. When you get the feeling of it's everybody else's fault, or you're nonchalant about when these things happen, like, you know, I'll get it back, like, whatever. Like, I'd be wanting to tear their flipping heads off, bro. Like, but you know the difference. So it's like, right, if I were playing with you, I know to you, it's important for you first. So I would never question it. Like, I would always support you. But if you were one of those type of dudes that it was like, well, you know what? Brady throws the ball. It's up to y'all to make it work from there. You know what I mean? Like, and the ball's getting turned over. Then I'm going to look at Brady and be like, Brady, bro, like, on God, bro. Like you keep playing like this, you are not going to make it home tonight. Like, that's the type of look I'm going to give you. You know what I mean?
Charles Peanut Tillman was on in an interview. I was filling in on a show a couple years ago, and I asked him just about, somehow in the conversation, remember the Jay Cutler playoff game, the NFC title game, where he suffered the knee injury and he went out?
Yes.
And somehow it got brought up in the conversation, and Charles Tillman said, look, there's a misconception out there that the people were upset with Jay that he didn't come back in the game. He's all, we weren't upset with Jay. We knew Jay was tough. We knew that he was hurt. The guy we were upset with was Todd Collins, because he didn't want to be out there, because they went to Todd Collins. He said, and when you've got a quarterback who you know is terrified of the moment and doesn't want to be out there, we were pissed off.
Did they bench Todd?
Yes.
And they put in
Caleb Haney. He's all, Caleb came in and played as well as he possibly could. We weren't upset with Jay. It was the guy that we knew was terrified of the moment and wanted no part of being in that game.
And you look at that guy and you just turn your face up to him. Like, like, why are you even collecting a check, you
But
B?
That's the thing is, dude, there are so many backups, like older guys who, like, didn't play much, and they'll want to hang around just to get the paycheck. And they are scared to death. And, like, honestly, preseason's their Super Bowl. They'll go out there, try to sling it around in preseason, make the stats still look good, the tape still look good, and then they're scared to death
to go in a
bad situation and have to fight. You know, if the season's gone awry or the starter gets hurt in a tough spot, they want no part of that, because they feel like that may be their last days in the NFL.
I'm going to give you guys an example. I played with Jeff George, and I like Jeff George as a person, but he was, like, definitely the type of dude where he was so nonchalant. Like, he would just whiz the ball. His arm talent was crazy.
Do you want to tease us for the next segment? Is this a good story with Jeff George?
That was it, actually.
Oh,
that was it.
Okay,
like,
oh, see, I thought,
the fact of it is that he would just throw it and it looked good. It was a great looking ball, and then people would pick it off all the time. And he'd come off the field like, hey, you know, y'all pay Jeff George to throw that ball to look good. Y'all, whatever happens after I let that ball go is on everybody else.
That's
part of the show.
He had a cannon, right?
Bruh, that thing came off his head. Like, God, look at the way. And then somebody pick it off. And then he'd come off the field like nothing happened. No facial expression, nothing. Like, okay, you do know we got to go back out here, right? You do know that the ball getting turned over means that we now have to go back out here and try to give you the ball back. So are you thinking that you might want to stop doing this? Or are we going to have to do this all day long?
Yeah, but it looked good, though.
I guess.
Hey, man.
I guess. You got style points.
There's something about that long ball. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez,
you can sling that thing out there like that.
Even if it gets picked off, as long as somebody catches it, it's entertainment, I guess.
Maybe he thought if he threw it hard enough, the defenders wouldn't catch it.
No, literally, that's a thing. Like literally,
if you were
back there.
You're serious?
No, I'm dead serious. There's quarterbacks who just, you try to rip it in certain windows.
Jesus.
And you pray to God it doesn't get tipped so it doesn't slow it down. But the passes that are easiest to get picked off are like any of the touch throws or anything with trajectory. If you rip some of those passes in there, more often than not, they ain't going to catch it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.